This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Book Reviews. Each week, we read reviews from a variety of national book reviewers to help you find the best from the rest in new releases. Also included are popular audiobooks. So sit back and get ready to plan your next mental vacation with Book Reviews right here on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Book Reviews. I'm your reader, Bonnie Weiss, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And today I'll be reading from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, beginning with Novel Relives Heady Vision of 2008 Campaign. Vincent Cunningham makes a cheeky move with his debut novel. He borrows the title of Charles Dickens' masterpiece to tell a different sort of coming-of-age story. His is about a young black man, David, who goes to work for the campaign of an unnamed United States senator trying to become the nation's first African-American chief executive. Loosely based on his own life, Cunningham worked on Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. The novel lacks the twisty plot and unforgettable characters of its namesake. However, Cunningham, as David, is an astute observer of the role money plays in U.S. politics and the seductive allure of access to powerful and charismatic political leaders such as Obama. Cunningham explores the racial and religious dimensions of the candidate and his campaign, recognizing at the start that black pulpit touch when the senator announced his bid for the nation's highest office. I felt almost flattered by the feeling, new to me, of being pandered to so directly by someone who so nakedly wanted something in return, thinks David. We meet him soon after he has flunked out of college and returned home to New York to live with his mother and help care for the child he fathered. To make ends meet, he starts to tutor the son of a glamorous black investment banker and early patron of the junior senator. Her role as a major fundraiser and her improbable affair with David allow Cunningham to explore the chicanery of campaign finance. With cameos of real-life celebrities, including Cornel West, Henry Louis Gates Jr., and the late Andre Leon Talley, as well as scenes set in Oak Bluffs on Martha's Vineyard. The redoubt of the black bourgeoisie, this book, is sure to be catnip to those who believed in that hopey-changey thing a long time ago. Book reviewed is entitled Great Expectations. It was written by Vincent Cunningham and reviewed by Ann Levin for the Associated Press. Next to Storybook Life, TV's Tamron Hall pours herself into projects like The New Thriller. Tamron Hall is bringing credibility and authenticity to the second installment of her thriller novel series, loosely based on Hall's own life and career. In Watch Where They Hide, the Emmy-winning talk show host takes readers on the journey of crime reporter Jordan Manning as she navigates her evolving career as a TV journalist while simultaneously uncovering the mystery of a missing mother. I wanted to give the reader a glimpse of what it's like in the newsroom from a character like me, but also have the luxury of fiction, Hall told the Daily News. I wanted to be a mystery and a true thriller, but through the lens of Jordan Manning, a character inspired by me with a little extra sauce of fiction. The journalist also said it was important to address the realities of being a black woman in corporate spaces. I needed to pull from real things that happened to me because it gave the character credibility and authenticity, she said. I was a crime reporter for most of my career. True crime show Deadline Crime ran for 6 seasons, and I wanted her to have that truth. Not, I imagine what it's like to be a crime reporter. No, this is what it's like. But also the truth of what it's like to be a black woman in those spaces. I was the first black woman to host the Today Show. I've been the first in many categories in my career. And that gives you a unique perspective, Hall added. I also wanted people to understand that no matter her race, no matter her background, like a good reporter, you go in, and your job is to do the job and see the human in the story. Hall said, it's that foundation of storytelling that has led her to have 5 seasons of the Tamron Hall Show, and why her guests and loyal viewers genuinely feel like family. It's been the conversation, the storytelling, she said. We have some of the biggest names in Hollywood come on this show, but people open up. Angela Bassett was here, and she starts to just share this journey and talk about her mother and what it means to have this career, where her mother said, just put your head down and do the work. We get past the accolades. We get past, you know, you're here promoting this movie or this TV show, and we get to the heart of that person. Met with cheers from an electric audience and standing ovation as she stepped onto the set for her March 13th episode, one day after the release of her new book, Hall looked into the crowd, visibly awestruck, declaring, I can't believe this is my life. Sometimes I walk out and I want to cry, she said. I just want to burst into tears of joy and gratitude for this show. When asked about her vision for the future, it's no mystery, Hall said. She doesn't plan on slowing down anytime soon. I'm going to do the talk show. I'm going to do the book. I'm going to produce shows. I'm going to write things, she said. I have the great fortune of living my dream because people relate to the journey. They relate to the many years of IVF. They relate to me losing my dream job, but then finding my next chapter. So I'm happy to share those things, if people can be inspired by it. The book reviewed is entitled Watch Where They Hide. It was written by Tamron Hall and reviewed by Vivian Quarm for the New York Daily News. Next, new library books. These true crime works are newly available through the Allen County Public Library. The Amish Wife, Unraveling the Lies, Secrets, and Conspiracy That Let a Killer Go Free, written by Greg Olson. Returning to Amish country to investigate the 1977 murder of pregnant wife and mother Ida Stutzman, the number one New York Times best-selling author, with the help of aging witnesses and shocking, long-buried letters, finally uncovers the disturbing truth and the conspiracy of silence and secrets that kept it hidden for 45 years. The Witch of New York, The Trials of Polly Bodine, and The Cursed Birth of Tabloid Justice, written by Alex Hortis. In this first narrative history of Polly Bodine, the first American woman put on trial for capital murder, from 1844 through 46, a constitutional lawyer and crime historian shows how dueling trial lawyers, ruthless newsmen, and shameless hucksters turned her case into America's formative tabloid trial. A Murder in Hollywood, The Untold Story of Tinseltown's Most Shocking Crime, written by Casey Sherman. This book recounts how Lana Turner, a famous Hollywood starlet from the 1940s and 1950s, became involved with an abusive West Coast mob boss and explores the explosive trial that resulted from his murder at the hands of the actress's daughter. The Waltham Murders, One Woman's Pursuit to Expose the Truth Behind a Murder and a National Tragedy, written by Susan Clare Zalkin. A crusade to find a killer becomes a gripping, intensely personal investigation into a shocking cold case and the radicalization of a terrorist. The Lost Tomb, and Other Real-Life Stories of Bones, Burials, and Murder by Douglas J. Preston. From the haunted country of Italy to the largest tomb in Egypt's Valley of the Kings, the number one New York Times best-selling author presents extraordinary and enthralling true stories of Egyptian burial chambers, lost treasure, mysterious murders, strange crimes, and more. Starkweather, The Untold Story of the Killing Spree That Changed America, written by Harry N. McLean. Drawing on new material, reporting, and conclusions, this definitive story of 19-year-old Charles Starkweather, who in 1958 murdered 10 people with his 14-year-old girlfriend, recounts this shocking event that served as the inspiration for the movie Natural Born Killers and Bruce Springsteen's iconic album Nebraska. Next, echoes across eras. Tale of Girl's Journey in 1960s maternity home still has resonance today. No one had asked her what she had wanted. No one had laid out options for her. No one had given her a choice in the matter. The question was, if she had a choice, what decision would she make? In 1964, Lorraine Delford lived in the perfect neighborhood in North Carolina. Being valedictorian was well within reach as she navigated her senior year of high school with her doting boyfriend, Clint, by her side. Literally reaching for the sky, Lorraine dreamt of going to college and studying space exploration in hopes of joining the race to space as an astronaut one day. It only took one mistake for her to become a falling star. Author Megan Church sheds light and awareness on the time known as the baby scoop era in her novel, The Girls We Sent Away. The baby scoop era spanned from 1945 to 1973. During this time, maternity homes popped up across the nation as a solution for unwed teen mothers, or wayward girls, as they were frequently called. Church chronicles the traumatic journey of Lorraine through her unplanned pregnancy, from telling her parents to her time at the maternity home. Church captures the gravity of Lorraine's situation so deeply that readers can't help but feel the loneliness and abandonment she endures when her parents, boyfriend, and even the maternity home's house mother show complete disregard for her emotional and mental well-being as she navigates a pregnancy at the age of 17. Instead of feeling supported, she feels shamed by those who are supposed to love her unconditionally. Far from feeling like a home, Lorraine finds her new temporary housing to be full of dark secrets and disturbed girls with more complicated situations than hers, even though they all physically appear to be in the same predicament. Thinking this would be a safe haven to bond with other girls and receive supportive care and answers was clearly a wrong assumption on her part. The in-depth development of Lorraine's character puts readers in her shoes as she contemplates what her future will look like once her baby is born. Mr. and Mrs. Delford claim she can come back home and return to a normal life as if none of this ever happened, all while convincing her that giving the baby up for adoption is the best and only option for everyone involved. Most importantly, to her parents, there will be no embarrassment since the matter is being handled privately and discreetly. Using historical fiction as a vehicle, Church addresses the important issue of women having no choice in the matters of their own pregnancies. She focuses on the 1960s, but recognizes in her author's note that this is still an ongoing debate. Readers are exposed to the demoralizing effect that maternity homes had on unwed mothers during the baby scoop era. The main goal was to sweep the problem under the rug and expect women to move on as if their lives hadn't been affected in immeasurable ways. The Girls We Sent Away forces readers to ask questions about Lorraine's situation and future. Was she able to move on without guilt? Did she feel a void for the rest of her life? Will she always wonder where her child is? Can she still reach her goals and have dreams that aren't tainted with regret? Most importantly, what if someone had asked what she wanted and how she felt about her pregnancy? Church gives readers much to think about, even after the last page is turned. The book reviewed is entitled The Girls We Sent Away. It was written by Megan Church and reviewed by Christy Keller, who is a page designer for the Journal Gazette. Next, Lockdown Frames Disparate Collection of Tales. Almost 4 years since COVID-19 became a household term, a new work of fiction proves that even a global pandemic can't curb creativity. 14 Days is billed as a collaborative novel. Edited by Margaret Atwood and Douglas Preston, the book was written by 36 American and Canadian authors. Many of the names will be familiar. Contributors include Emma Donoghue, Dave Eggers, John Grisham, Erica Jong, Celeste Ng, R.L. Stein, and Scott Thoreau. Preston wrote the frame narrative that pulls the stories together into a novel with a plot, conflicts, and a surprising resolution of its own. Consisting of 14 chapters dated from March 31 to April 13, 2020, the book tells the story of how the residents of the Fernsby Arms, a decaying crap shack tenement on Manhattan's Lower East Side that should have been torn down long ago, spent the early weeks of the lockdown. They don't have much in common. Assembling on the rooftop to bang pots and pans in appreciation of the healthcare heroes during their shift change, the characters decide to spend each evening storytelling. Multiple stories are squeezed into each chapter, some just a page or two long. The writing is unattributed except at the end, but most readers will enjoy flipping to the back after reading a story so they can give the author credit. The narrator is the building's superintendent, and she's inherited a binder left behind by the previous super in which he described many of the tenants, assigning them nicknames. Those stories, as one might expect, given 36 writers, are a mixed bag. There are lengthy jokes, a smattering of horror, some nonfiction, even romances, poetry, parables. Befitting their oral delivery in the book, they sort of wash over you as a reader. The thing they have in common is the same thing shared by the 36 writers of this collaborative novel. They're an attempt to make sense of the senseless and bring order to disorder, as the editors write in their preface. They're proof that the stories we leave behind are what makes us human. The book reviewed here is 14 Days, Margaret Atwood, Douglas Preston, and reviewed by Rob Merrill for the Associated Press. Next, a worthy finale from an all-time great. The Nobel laureate Gabriel Garcia Marquez was an unabashed fan of English versions of his novels, suggesting that Gregory Rabassa's translation of 100 Years of Solitude surpassed the original. Anne McLean's marvelous rendering of Garcia Marquez's posthumous Until August continues a tradition, immersing us in the dreamy richness of the author's fictional worlds amid characters pummeled by the demands of marriage, family, and the dead, who linger in a kind of limbo. It weighs in at a mere 100 pages, plus an afterword, but it's far more than a coda to a magnificent career. Each August 12th, Anna Magdalena Bach makes a pilgrimage to a cemetery on an island off Columbia's shore. Her purpose is twofold: cleaning her mother's grave and reveling in brief escape from her husband, a domineering professional musician, and their grown children, a colorless son and a punk daughter, inexplicably determined to enter a convent. Bach is in her late 40s, a teacher who always carries a book, her beauty still glittering in her golden eyes. Her annual ritual repeats itself. She arrives on the island, scrubs dirt and foliage from the headstone while speaking about her deepest transgressions, as if confessing to a priest. Then she takes a ferry back to the tourist town, showers, and heads to a bar for a drink, returning home the next day. One summer, her routine is disrupted when she meets a nameless man in the bar and brings him to her room, waking to pangs of guilt and a $20 bill left as payment for services tendered or a token of just how much he thinks she's worth. This tryst sparks an obsession. From now on, she will use her getaway both to mourn and indulge herself, a la Freud. There's a struggle between sex and death at play. She yearns for a blessing. She was so convinced that her mother would send her a sign of approval that she expected it instantly. She looked up at the ceiba in flower, its repeated clusters blowing in the wind. She saw the sky, the sea, the Miami-bound plane. Although her luck waxes and wanes, casual affairs may be the answer. She finds uneasy resolution only after she reconstructs her mother's story. Garcia Marquez wrote Until August, Against the Clock. His memory withered during his final years. He considered it unfinished and forbade his sons to publish it. But in what they call an act of betrayal, they pulled it from their father's papers, recognized its merits, and moved forward. MacLean's nuanced translation harkens back to the maestro's canonical novels while evoking, in a composition as tight as a Rembrandt portrait, the ache of human need. The book reviewed is entitled Until August. It was written by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, translated by Anne MacLean, and reviewed by Hamilton Kane for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Next, new library books. These works of literary fiction are newly available from the Allen County Public Library. The Curse of Pietro Houdini, written by Derek B. Miller. In 1943, 14-year-old Massimo, rescued by a mysterious man called Pietro Houdini, who preserves the treasures within a Benedictine abbey's wall, accompanies him on a World War II art heist adventure. They lie, cheat, steal, fight, kill, and sin to survive while smuggling Renaissance masterpieces they've rescued from the safe keeping of the Germans. Help Wanted by Adele Waldman. A group of misfit big box store employees working the overnight shift in a small upstate New York bee for the stability, salary, and possibility of a new job when their store manager announces he is leaving. All Our Yesterdays, a novel of Lady Macbeth by Joel H. Morris. A novel set 10 years before the events in Shakespeare's classic play follows the life of Lady Macbeth, who was married to the violent, sadistic Mormor Amore at age 15 and relied on her wits to survive with her young son. The Kamogawa Food Detectives by Hisashi Kashiawa. Down a quiet Kyoto backstreet, food detectives Koishi Kamogawa and her father Nagare, the proprietors of the Kamogawa Diner, through ingenious investigations, recreate dishes from a person's treasured memories, which hold the keys to their forgotten past and future happiness. Burma Sahib by Paul Thoreau. An Eton graduate is conscripted as a servant of the British Empire to oversee local policemen in Burma, forcing him to navigate social, racial, and class politics in the new novel by the acclaimed author of The Mosquito Coast. That's all the time we have for today. This has been Bonnie Weiss with Book Reviews. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.